Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick Ramone.
And I'm Joe Ramone.
And welcome to Orbiting the Ghost Planet, our episode-by-episode discussion of Space Ghost Coast to Coast. We're not really Ramones.
This was Season 1, Episode 5, Bobcat. And our guests were Bobcat Goldthwait, whose name I can barely say, and the Ramones.
They are punks.
They are punks. Well, we gotta start with Bobcat, because he was first.
Well, you gotta start with Bobcat, because have you seen the faces that man makes?
His eyebrows were constantly moving.
Most of the time, like, his jaws and teeth and lips, he was just... Any quiet moments, just filled with Bobcat faces. You know, it's television, it's a visual medium, so that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
This was... Alright, so do you have any... let's talk about Bobcat for a little while.
Yeah, is that his actual name?
It might be. It's the way he's always been known.
Okay.
So see here, Bobcat was already around the Cartoon Network because he was doing the Moxie Pirate radio show.
I definitely recognize his voice.
You're going to recognize his voice. But do you have any other, like, reference to him?
I know I've heard his voice before, and it's one of those voices you don't think that a person actually talks in all the time, but that's just what his voice sounds like.
Yeah. He, almost in the vein of a Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah. It's nuts. But I know that I've heard his voice before. I could not tell you what, because it's probably stuff I haven't seen in a while.
Okay. I'm trying to remember, similarly, he has not been, I mean, he had some notoriety. Of course, he was a stand-up comedian. And that right there, again, you get a pretty good sense of what he was like on stage. He was just strange. I know, so this occurs, I believe this occurs somewhere in the future of this episode, but eventually he goes on one of the late-night shows, might have been Letterman, and sets the couch on fire? Like, literally, that is what he does. He puts lighter fluid and lights the couch on fire and becomes sort of the talk show arsonist.
Okay.
And I think he might actually do... There is some sort of serious punishment to happen for that. I think I'm going to look into this for another time. But... Yeah, like he was just always weird and strange and very much about noises and just being, like, the strange kid in class who at least makes you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I believe his sort of most recent works, he's done a lot more, he's been a director a little bit. I think he's done a handful of movies, I want to say, but the only one that I know for sure, which is one that I want to see, is Sleeping Dogs Lie. Which I believe is some sort of film about bestiality.
Okay.
But yeah, I think he was stand-up. I think he did talk shows. I want to say he's been, like, a bit actor on, like, sitcoms. He's kind of a character actor because he's got that voice and he's got that attitude.
Yeah.
But, aside from that, like, he's perfect for Space Ghost because he's just weird. Asking Space Ghost if he thinks that Bobcat is pretty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something weird like that. Making references to leisure suits. Asking for a party cake. That's the kind of guy he is. I'm going to go on a talk show. It's like, hey, we should get a party cake. All right, Bobcat, let's go with it.
Mm-hmm. I like how first, though, Zorak snuck on when the camera came down to present him. It was Zorak's face instead.
Oh, yeah. Which, so, like, that and the opening where Zorak goes a little overexcited with the intro music.
Yeah.
Because, so that's
he's excited about the Ramones.
Yeah. Similar to last week's episode when Maltar sort of got real deep on Chips.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, that begins a pattern that we will see again. This week is sort of Zorak's turn to get real into something. And it's getting real into the Ramones. In, like, a very classic fanboy way, especially because when he finally sees him, he is speechless. He just says, hi. And also sort of continuing with the, you know, villain conflict, big brother sort of ragging on him motif of just like, hey, Space Ghost, stop doing your boring talk show and get to the part that I'm excited for.
Yeah. I like how Moltar was like actually was in on it and helping him with that.
But also, Moltar's almost like a little goody two-shoes.
Kind of, yeah, because he's like, okay, that's enough now. We gotta go back to the real thing.
Whatever the boss says goes, even though he hates what the boss is asking for.
Mm-hmm. And he thinks the boss is an idiot, as he indicated when he switched to the recursive view of the screen of just Space Ghost at his desk looking at the screen of Space Ghost at his desk looking at the screen, etc.
Okay. Well, you see, that's the thing. Space Ghost has a childlike innocence to him. Because... who of us, when a child, were not just supremely entertained by video feedback loops?
Oh, I still am.
Yeah. I don't know why he makes the noises for the...
For the lasers?
For the laser beams that comes off of his hands when he actually fires laser beams.
Because that's the sound a laser makes. And if it doesn't make it, you gotta make it make it.
You know, that's true. There was a... I'm trying to remember what the name of that game was. Where it was a, like, spaceship... battle game, and it was like card based, and it was about like movement and shooting cards. And when you played a shooting card, you had to make a pachoom laser noise, and if you didn't, you were penalized.
Nice.
It was Mandatory Fun was the name of Weird Al Yankovic's last album. In stores now.
So we had Bobcat ask Space Ghost his real name.
Yep, Tad Ghostel, which. This is one of those things that, for some reason, sticks around.
Yeah, I was going to ask if, like, that's, like, canonically his actual name, or if that's just something they made up and then ran with it.
Coast to Coast canon, that is his name. They will get to it. Even when we get to meet Space Ghost's grandfather, he calls him by that name. So there was a comic book series... I think it was like a 6-episode thing released in, I want to say about 2009, somewhere later half of the aughts.
Hmm.
And that actually did a little backstory into, like Space Ghost's creation about how he was like one of the last space rangers and then corruption and mafia. And he's the one who basically the RoboCop story.
Okay.
This is how they pitch it. It's like, okay, but how about instead of RoboCop, he becomes a space ghost.
So, Danny Phantom. Except he didn't end up in his parents' ghost machine.
Ghost machine?
I forget what it's called.
And according to that comic run, which I believe is supposed to be sort of canon to the original show, his name is actually Thaddeus.
No, oh, okay.
Not
that was
going to
be my next question. Was is Tad short for something?
Yeah,
I imagine it would have to be.
But he is not Tad Ghostel. He is Tad Bach. So
okay,
yeah. So you know, maybe sort of a throwback. Maybe because the creators of Coast to Coast did have an affinity for the original Space Ghost with Gary Owens and Alex Toth and whatnot. So you know. Somebody's going to come in and be like, wasn't it Tad? I think maybe it's Tad. All right, let's go with Tad. And, you know, bring in what they remember, what they enjoy, and inject it into the show that they're making. That's the way that it works. You take what you liked, and you just make it again, but with the other things you like.
Mm-hmm. I also like Bobcat's Play Me Something Public Domain.
That is almost like a knowing sort of riff. Like, so, and that's another thing about Bobcat's, like, style of comedy is, like, not only is he weird, but he is very much a punk. He is very much, you know, anti-establishment, in a sense.
Yeah.
He's very much just like, I know the way you work, and it's going to be safe, and I object to that, so I'm going to try to bust down your walls. Ooh, I'm a high schooler. Wait. But yeah, so, in a way, that's knowing, because it's a pretty safe guess that, you know, if you're running some little podunk cartoon thing, it's either one way to make sure that you're using royalty-free music so you don't gotta pay for cash, it's use public domain stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the fact that they just roll with it and they pull up something public domain to
The whole interview flowed, like, really well.
Yeah.
It was a really good conversation flow.
They even had the moment where we come back from commercial and they're in the middle of, like, a separate conversation.
Yeah, like they were talking during the commercial.
Barney the Dinosaur. which is interesting because that gives you an idea of just, like, you know, here's all the stuff that we're able to pull out and use for the show. And there must have been some other stuff that wasn't, like, a full segment on its own, but we're going to use some of it and sneak it in there.
Yeah.
Bobcat Goldthwait is like a raw interview I love to see.
Mm-hmm.
Also, sort of hints that maybe Zorak is super talented. Then again, that's this silly idea that his synthesizer is like a magical instrument.
It can play any instrument sound type thing, because it did.
We revisited that idea a little later on, playing around with that, but just...
Oh, okay.
But, like, you know, it's the same animation for everything, because, you know, Hanna-Barbera animation, we got this One Piece, we're going to use it forever. That's really what the anime One Piece is about, is looking at the one universal piece of animation that Hanna-Barbera would use. I bet you didn't know that.
Can't say that, I've actually seen One Piece.
But yeah, like, every time Zorak plays a song, pretty much he is actually playing the song. It's very rare that he, like, has a boombox or something else. There is a playing animation, which seems to suggest that Zorak is actually able to play anything sort of off the cuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just, that takes quite a bit of talent.
Mm-hmm. So, the Ramones interview, you can't help but notice that while they're sitting in their chairs, the background behind them is, like, blue... space style, like, school picture background type thing.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that they didn't actually interview the Ramones, they just used an interview.
See, I would think of it the other way. It's rare, but on occasion they were able to, like, get one interview in, write half of a show, and then get in another interview and use, you know, cues from the one to lead into another to, again, try to make it like a constant flow and not make the show seem as disjointed as it clearly was anyway.
Yeah.
So I would almost not be surprised if Bobcat threw the party cake line.
Yeah.
And then
they got them a cake.
Yeah, and then they brought in a party cake for the Ramones to be able to continue playing that, because It's like, I don't know, the Ramones are punks. Also, just like, not just the background, but the chairs are just super fancy. That is more than just like a stool on a black curtain. You also have to consider that I believe this was their first time interviewing four people.
True. They probably had to find a bigger room.
A bigger room? So here's the thing, since I don't remember much else Turner Network shows at the time, original productions, but, you know, there was other stuff being made. Turner really liked to just license things that were already existing, so that's why we have the Turner Classic Movies, because just, all right, we'll buy movies that we know are good, and we'll show those all the time, and I think it was like TBS, TNT, TCM, and Cartoon Network were most of the Turner networks, but they like to pull a lot of, you know, old stuff and just replay it.
Yeah.
They were all about that syndication, no reruns. That's the opposite of what that means. Oh, now we just dated ourselves. Oh, no. It's like Clone High all over.
What? I need to watch that again. I love that show. Also, the one Ramone has a shirt with the big red hairy guy from Looney Tunes with the sneakers. And that's my mom's favorite character, which is the only reason I noticed it.
Gossamer. I used to have a DOS game I would play as a kid where you were Bugs Bunny running around in like a dungeon and Gossamer was chasing you all the time. I never beat it because Gossamer is a scary mofo. But yeah, so the point was there's a good chance that there was like just another show being done somewhere at the time. So I wonder if like you knew about like maybe talk shows from around the 94 era, if they just use a background from another show being produced by a Turner Network.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. I don't remember back that far, but that's what you do. We need space for four chairs and enough room for a cake.
Yeah,
who else we got? At some point, we are going to be graced by the presence of one of Larry King's old desks.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Go figure. But again, because you use what you got in the studio. You go next door. You go downstairs. You grab something from the film library. Whatever you need.
I like that they gave them the cake, but then they just photoshopped on the party hats onto everybody.
Yep.
It's a nice touch.
It is. You gotta... I don't know. Do you think you could wrangle a party hat onto not one, but all four Ramones? Like, you give them a cake, they will tear into it, but... I want to know what that one guy with the glasses was on. Was he the bassist? Is that why he never looked into the camera?
I don't know.
Does he have some kind of ponytail thing going on? I couldn't...
No, it was just hanging down.
weirdos. You know, I don't like Blitzkrieg Bop.
Okay. It's fun to sing on Rock Band.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's terrible to play on bass in Rock Band. That's it. There's your song. You're going in a half pipe. Let's kick butt.
So I forgot how seizure inducing that title is.
Oh, yeah. Did you notice, again, Bobcat comes on the show. It's super weird. Fitting with the show. And they play it right back at him with that line about Jittery Woodchuck with moving his mouth up and down until it's nothing but a blur of gums and lips.
Yes.
And then, in one way, you know exactly what they're talking about with that. From, like, classic cartoon, anything, what have you.
Yeah.
And then they go ahead and they just put it right in there with Space Ghost anyway.
Yep.
It's a good gag because you know what you're talking about. And then they finish it off. And they're just like, here, just like self-referential to the joke we're currently telling. All right? Do you know who Katie Did is?
I know who Katie Lang is, and I know what a Katie Did is.
What's a
Katie? What? A Katie Did is a bug.
Oh, is that like
it's the leaf insects.
Okay.
The ones that look like leaves.
So, is that related to a Kikaida? Katie Kaida?
Cicada.
Kida? No.
It's not really.
A Sasuke?
No.
Okay. Jokes for nerds. But yeah, there's a moment which also talking some stuff about Zorak and about how he's a locust.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't picked up on that yet. But yeah, they had that moment about Katie Did, and then Zorak just responds with, "What?"
Well, yeah, because it was when Bobcat asks Space Ghost what his real name is, and then Space Ghost jokes that Zorak's real name is Katie Did.
All right.
Because it's a similar insect. I thought it was funny.
See, so me just not knowing that little piece, I guess, just Zorak's reaction to that of just quiet and then what? Like, not even sort of the normal disdain we would see for Space Ghost, which is very much like a...
Confusion.
He was with the audience on this one, just like, was that supposed to be a joke? What? Where did you go with that? I don't... You lost me. Like, I can't even be mad because you lost me. More injected unprofessionalism with Space Ghost bumping his own mic.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure. It happens to the best of us, but still. Oh, and then on the... again, on the note of continuity to the old show, there was that little inner monologue of Replicants and Dr. Zin.
Yeah.
I believe that is a plot from one of the original episodes.
Sure.
And they just threw it in there. Again, this kind of thing. He's just like, yeah, no. This is a continuation of the old show, in a sense. Like that.
He had a little bubble around his head when he was thinking that, and then it popped. Well, a little pop noise.
I mean, it takes him so much effort to have, like, a thought.
Yeah, no, it was a thought bubble, and it was fantastic.
But, like, that's where you could see it.
Yeah.
Because it takes so much energy, it forms, like, a visible aura. And then the Ramones took their party cake.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's all there was to this episode.
Mm-hmm. Now I want cake.
I could go for a little cake. We have a caramel almond cake mix upstairs.
Nah, it's too much work to make a cake and then eat it.
Well, I mean, you put, like, water and oil in it and bake it.
Yeah, it's still too much effort to put into making a cake and then eating it.
I'm real curious about throwing it into the waffle maker. That still sounds like a really good idea to me.
That'd be interesting.
Waffle cake. So that's going to do it for us for this week. We hope you will join us again next time when we watch another episode of Space Ghost Coast to Coast and complete another orbit around the ghost planet. Thank you. You have been listening to Orbiting the Ghost Planet, an Aliku Studios podcast network production. You can visit the show page at alikustudios.net/podcast/ghostplanet. There you can find the rest of our episodes, the RSS feed for the show, and links to our Facebook page, where you can talk about this and all the other Leeku Studio shows. You can also subscribe to us in iTunes, and while you're there, you can help us by leaving a quick review and rating. Please visit olekustudios.net to learn more about us and what we do. That's OLEETKU.